Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from Mark 10, and we are focusing on verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, again, how wonderful it is to gather to hear your word, the word of your Son, Jesus Christ, the good news of his death and resurrection for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. Send your Holy Spirit to work through this word to strengthen our faith in Jesus, and may this faith overflow in lives of love toward others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is week four of a series called The Power of the Cross, focusing on the power. And in particular, we've been focusing on worldly power, but also the godly power that Jesus alone possesses. And then our power, our use of power, how sometimes we're caught in the middle of it, whether Jesus has a hold of us and our power then becomes good in his name, or we give into worldly power. And this morning, I want you to consider that when we use worldly power, there is a considerable lack of compassion. You know, when you are using your power to manipulate and dominate and control, when you are using your power to say, my will be done, when you are using your power to enhance your status, reputation, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to actually consider the other, to listen to them, to show some empathy for them. I see this a lot in arguments. You know, you become so convinced that you are right, that your viewpoint is right, and that the other person is absolutely wrong, and boy, you're going to let them know it. It comes to the point where you don't actually see maybe that they're hurting, maybe that they're struggling, maybe they don't want your harsh words. Instead, maybe what they want is just someone to listen and understand. That's what's heartbreaking about the use of worldly power, is that what if the other person needs your compassion, needs you to show compassion to them? It's heartbreaking. I mean, if you and I are so wrapped up in our own needs, it's difficult to consider the needs of others. If you and I are wrapped up in making sure that we are all right, that we are justified in what we think, say, or do, it becomes hard to actually turn to someone else and say, hey, are you all right? We're so wrapped up in ourselves, it becomes almost impossible to wrap ourselves around others, wrapping them up in our love, in our service to them. Our text this morning is all about service, all of it. See, Jesus had just given another passion prediction to his disciples. Third time, he told them, we're going up to Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be beaten, flogged, mocked, crucified, killed, oh yeah, and 3 days later, I will rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they hear this. And so they pull Jesus aside. They're like, Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. You can almost see Jesus kind of like throwing up his hands like, okay, what do you want me to do for you? Well, we want to sit on your right and your left in your kingdom, because that's obviously what's going on. You're going back up to Jerusalem, right? Yeah, you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel once again, and we want the best seats in the house. And so do the other disciples. Oh, when they hear that James and John said this, they were indignant. They were mad. They're like, hey, hold on there. We want those best seats too. What makes you think you're better than us? You see, the disciples at this point are only focused on themselves, their own needs, their own greatness, their own status. They're only focused on worldly power. And that's when Jesus just kind of stops them in his tracks. He's just like, whoa, okay, hold on, guys. Look, being great in my kingdom involves this cup, drinking this cup. And besides, you know how this works. You know how the world works. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over people. They rule over them. But not so with you. My kingdom is not about worldly power. It's not about getting your own way. It's not about your own status and reputation. It's not about climbing the ladder of greatness. No, you want to be great in my kingdom? Become a servant. You want to be first in my kingdom? You must be a slave of all. You want to be great in my kingdom? You're going to end up doing my Father's will. You're going to put the needs of others ahead of your own. In other words, you're going to serve. Just like me. Because even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Service, it's all over this text. The call to serve is crystal clear. And that is a good thing, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good to serve others. It's good to have compassion on others. It's good to love them. But in this call to serve, there is a hidden and yet deeply troubling catch to all of that. And let me show you what I mean. The first time I preached on this text was at my vicarage congregation on the other side of the lake in Sawyer, Michigan, right by Warren Dunes State Park. And I thought I did pretty good. You know, we seek greatness apart from service, and then, but here comes Jesus and shows us what greatness is, you know, serving and giving your life and, hey, go and do likewise kind of stuff. I thought I did pretty good. Until, after the service, a family came up to me, and the mom of the family said, Vicar, that's what they called me, Vicar, that was a great message. My teenage son really needed to hear it. And right there in front of me, she turns to him and says, you see, you want to be great? Serve. Okay, maybe that wasn't such a great message after all. Because what better way to be great than to serve? And that is the catch right there. The call to serve others, to love others, to have compassion, to give your life. It can still be done in such a way that is self-conscious, self-serving, where you are still focused on yourself and not on others. You end up worrying about your performance. You know, am I serving well enough? Am I doing good enough? I don't know. Still focused on yourself. You know, you're worried about your status, how you look in the eyes of others. You know, am I doing the right thing? Are they going to praise me for this? Am I going to be able to get on their social media feed? Still focused on yourself. And then you're worried about your relationship with God. Will he be pleased with what I'm doing? Am I doing enough to gain or maintain his favor? Still focused on yourself. Now, I know what many of you might be thinking. You might be saying, Pastor, so what? So what? People are getting served. We're showing love to others. Well, True, but there's two things about that. The first thing is that this constant focus on self can derail that love and that service to others in an instant or over time to where, no, I'm not going to serve you at all. But the second or deeper thing is this. You may serve others, you may love others, you may show compassion to them, but even though it may look great in the eyes of everyone, God sees the heart. And does he see a sinful, selfish heart seeking its own way, rebelling against God and his will, completely held captive to the ways of the world that is unable to free itself? Well, God does see that heart in every sinful human creature. And that's why Jesus goes on. That's why he says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." There's a lot going on in what Jesus said. He said the Son of Man came to give his life. Now we understand, of course, that he gave his life at the cross for all of our sin. But is that the only time that he gave his life? I would contend that Jesus gave his life from day one of his ministry. That he was constantly thinking of the needs of others and serving them with his own giftedness, his own calling, in terms of time and energy and resources. And he did this all the while the disciples were only worried about themselves. I mean, Jesus says this shortly after he has fed 5,000 men, not including the women and children. He fed them too with just 5 loaves and 2 fish, multiplying it till their bellies were full and there were baskets left over. But at the beginning of it, when Jesus sees the crowds, he has compassion on them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. Therefore, he serves them in their need. That's what Jesus came to do, to give his life. Because so many times we fail to give our lives to others, but Jesus does not. And the cross is the culmination of a lifetime of giving his life for others. But then he goes on to say, as a ransom, payment to secure release for someone, like a prisoner of war or a slave or a forfeited life. Jesus paid that ransom with his own life, shedding his own blood at the cross. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him, the chastisement was laid upon him. By his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon his bloody back. He paid that ransom, something that you and I could never pay. And he did it for you, for me, for the many. That means everyone. Not the do-gooders, not the self-righteous, not those who serve perfectly in every single way. But he gave his life as a ransom for many, for the only people there are, sinners. those who are unrighteous, those who cannot serve perfectly in any way, shape, or form on their own. And yet Jesus died for them at the cross. That's the power of the cross. Jesus' compassion for sinful humanity, his love for the unlovable, giving his life for the undeserving. And at the cross, brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus forgives you. He forgives all those times you sought greatness apart from service, seeking to become exalted in the eyes of others apart from any kind of love and compassion for others. Instead, Jesus makes you great by drinking the cup, by giving his life, by shedding his blood. That's what makes you great in the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus also at the cross forgives your sin of all those times you serve others with a selfish heart, with selfish ambitions, seeking only what is good for yourself and not the good of others. Instead, Jesus brings you to the foot of the cross and you look up and you see the eyes of God himself, a God who loves you, has compassion on you, and when he dies for you, sets you free to a new heart, a new life in him. Because when Jesus brings you under the power of the cross, you now serve others. You now give your life in his name with a heart that has been completely set free from any sinful, selfish ambition. You see, through the cross, you're no longer worried about your life. It's secure in Jesus. You're no longer worried about your performance. Jesus has done it all for you. You're no longer worried about your status and reputation. You are great in the kingdom of heaven already because of what he's done. You no longer worry about your relationship with God. God has established his eternal relationship with you in Jesus Christ. Now you are free to focus on others, free to focus on their needs, free to humbly serve them in any way that God has called you, that God has gifted you. You are now free to show compassion to them, love on them, and you are not even thinking about yourself and your own greatness. That is the power of the cross. That is giving your life, because that comes only from the one who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for you, so that you will become great even in your serving. Amen.